for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, September the 2nd, 2016. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Ears to Hear.
That's Jerry.
Thank you, Lord. Well, that's what I want to be. I want to be a problem solver. I can't stand problems that hang on. There's always an answer, and God always has an answer. Amen? It really distresses me when I try to tell people truth, and they don't want to hear it, and they're living in torment. And it's really sad. You don't have to be tormented. And I want to say something about this camp. I don't know of any place anywhere where you get more deliverance than in this camp. So many places you get demons because there's so much false doctrine out there. And I'll just tell you this. If you're in a church that's not teaching you to repent of your sin, you are in a false church. Because every prophet in the Word of God will tell you to repent of your sin. And if he's a prophet and he's not telling you to repent, guess what? He's not a prophet from God. He's a prophet, all right, but the wrong kind. Every time I leave this camp, I'm delivered of something. I don't know what. In fact, you know, deliverance is an ongoing thing. It's not a one-shot deal. It's a picture of the sanctification process that takes a lifetime. God tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're saved, we're being saved, and we'll ultimately be saved. And if we don't let God discipline us in these problems, the Bible says we're bastards. We're not even His. So when you have a problem, ask God to show you what He's trying to teach you. Let Him discipline you. And I don't mean, when I say discipline, I'm not talking about a spanking. Now, He'll spank you if you don't listen. And He'll increase the problem until you do listen. But the discipline that God wants is basically to line you up with the Word of God. He wants to correct mistakes because He loves you. And so every time I go home, I'm changed. And this morning we had a group deliverance up here, and my grandson, David, said, I got delivered. And he said, I was sneezing and burping, and I said, so was I. I was getting delivered, and Mandy said he was getting delivered, and Carla said she got some deliverance. I said, well, do we know what we got delivered from? No, we don't even know, but hey, I want all the deliverance I can get. The more you get delivered, you'll go from strength to strength, glory to glory. Amen? And Jerry said, you'll just get brighter and brighter. Amen. The more demons leave, the more darkness goes, the more light comes in. Everywhere a demon leaves, light comes in. Hallelujah, because it's the truth that sets you free. And before I teach, I'm going to say another thing. Is if you don't have a church home and you don't have any place to give your tithe, give it to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, because they're not in here for the money. It costs a lot of money to run the camp. They're not money manipulators. It's not nickels, dimes, noses, and numbers like some of these preachers. And so give to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, and especially pray about giving toward this air conditioning system, okay? All right? Bless the Lord. And I appreciate all of you. I love coming to this camp. I love you, but God loves you more. Amen? This morning I feel led to teach on ears to hear. Now, y'all have ears, but we don't all have ears to hear, right? Job 34, verse 3, it says that the ear tests words like the palate tastes food. And speaking of the disciples, you know, a disciple, not everybody that claims to be a believer is a disciple. The disciples are those that let God discipline them. And He tells the disciples in Isaiah 50, He said, I'll give you the tongue of a disciple that you might sustain the weary one with the word. And morning by morning, I'm going to wake up your ear to listen as a disciple, and you will not be disobedient, nor will you turn back. And so God wants to give us the ear of a disciple that we won't be disobedient and turn back. And my prayer is that God will open up our ears, give us ears to hear, which means to dig out, excavate, and irrigate your ears. Amen? I need mine irrigated. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne and we thank you, Lord, for the truth that sets us free. We thank you, Lord, that you said when we walk with you, that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life and we'll dwell in your house forever. Lord, we thank you that you said we always triumph in Jesus' name. We can do all things through you who strengthens us. We thank you that the wicked bow down at the gates of the righteous. Lord, we thank you for the authority that you've given us over all the power of the enemy. And Lord, we take our seat in the heavenly places and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, against this meeting, against this camp, against our lives, our families, and everything that concerns us. We declare you're bound. We bind the strong man over every life. We loose on each person the truth that sets us free, the fear of the Lord, the conviction of sin. In Jesus' name. And we bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And we break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over us, over this camp. In Jesus' name. Jesus said over and over in the Gospels, to him who has ears, let him hear. They all had ears, but they didn't all have spiritual ears. In fact, 9 times in the Word of God, it talks about having ears to hear. Having ears to hear doesn't mean the 2 ears that are connected to your head. But when Jesus said to him who has ears, let him hear, he was talking about spiritual ears. He was talking about having a hearing heart, a heart that could understand, a heart that seeks after hearing the Word of God. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, take care how you listen, for to him who has, more will be given, and to him who thinks he has, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. So if we don't take care of how we listen, what we have will be taken away. And we have to not only take care of how we listen and what we listen to, how we listen to the Word of God, but what we listen to. Because the Word of God is seed and words are seed. And when you listen to seed that contradicts the seed of God's Word, you're putting, how can I say this? You're planting weeds in your spiritual garden. When the Bible talks about heart, it's talking about the spiritual garden of your heart. And so when we plant the wrong kind of seed by what we listen to and we receive it in our heart, we're planting things that are going to, negative things that are going to come up. And so Scripture calls us not only to carefully consider what we listen to, but what we listen to and how we listen to the Word of God. You know, if you're a person that rejects the truth, doesn't want to be corrected, refuses correction, doesn't want to follow instructions, or maybe you don't have the ability to follow instructions. There's people that are so bound up that they can't even follow instructions. If you're a person that refuses truth, cuts truth off, rejects truth, you're not a person that has ears to hear. And God wants us to have ears to hear. Now, having ears to hear is one of the spiritual roots to all kinds of physical problems of the ears. Allergies in the ears, infection in the ears, fungus in the ears, hearing problems, hearing loss, total deafness. And after 35 years of being in deliverance ministry, I've discovered that when we cut our parents off, when we refuse to listen to our mother and father, is usually where it starts. When we're children, it usually starts because if a child perceives that his parent is too hard, too controlling, too strict, too yada yada, too always running off at the mouth, stupid, then he will cut him off. And when you do that, when you cut your parents off, you're really cutting God off, because consciously or unconsciously, we treat God just like we treat our mothers and fathers. I want to say this too. If you're angry at your mother and father, I can tell you, I mean, if you're angry at God, it tells me you're angry at your mother and father. If you're bitter toward God, you hate God, that tells me you hate your parents. Because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. And unconsciously, we think God's like our mother and father till we get delivered. But that's a lie. He's not anything like our mothers and fathers. And so, you know, I remember in my lifetime, my youngest son died of AIDS. And My husband didn't want him in the house even when he was healthy, much less when he had AIDS. And the only way I could deal with him is I just cut him off. Later, that manifested in an ear problem for me, and that was one of the things the Lord showed me, is that I just cut off his ear. And so, judgment comes. You might hear things that are painful to you, and you let the sun go down on your anger, and you don't take that to God, then the pain in your ears will stay there till you deal with it. I remember years ago, I ministered to a girl who'd come out of prostitution, and she had infected ears. And so when we began to ask the Lord to show us why her ears were infected, she was into prostitution, and there was a pimp that would scream in her ears, and he would burn her with cigarettes. And when she forgave him, her ear was instantly healed. And so, you can have things happen to you. I know another lady who was deaf, and she had her daddy always slapped her in the ears. And so when she forgave her daddy, God healed her ears. And of course, you have to break soul ties, because through soul ties, you get a piece, like Carla said last night, of whoever you have a soul tie with, and they get a piece of you. If somebody slaps you in the ears and you let the sun go down on your anger, the Bible says you give the devil an opportunity. And when you do that, it's almost like until you forgive, it's like their hand is still there. And so when you break the soul ties, you can cut the hand off the ear that slapped her in the ears, and God healed her. I know another girl who was deaf, and her mother and daddy were always fighting, so she just kind of cut them off and went into a spiritual soundproof booth. And so when we took her out of there, her ears improved. She didn't completely get healed, but her ears were improved. And so God wants us to have ears to hear. And I'm convinced, I've seen people instantly healed when they forgave people or when they asked God to forgive them for cutting off their parents. When I first started teaching seminars in 1990, there was one of the girls that was involved in my ministry, but she came up, she said, for some reason, I don't like to listen to the Word of God. And so I said, did you ever not like listening to your mother or daddy? She said, my daddy, she said, every time he'd say a word, I'd go, inside. I could not stand to listen to his voice. And so I led her in repentance. And about 3 months later, she was in my kitchen. She said, when you pray for me about not liking the Word of God, she said, I didn't know it, but I had a hearing problem. She said, I've been able to hear better ever since. I've seen this happen so much over the years. I know of another little boy that had an ear infection, and his daddy was getting ready to take him to the doctor. And I said, can I go anoint him with oil? And they said yes, and I did. And I asked the young man, I said, did you ever just cut your daddy off? And he said yes. And so he repented, and the Lord healed his ears. Recently, I had a guy tell me that he said, I was having a hard time hearing God. And I said, Lord, why am I not hearing you right now? And the Lord said, you're not listening to your father. And see, when we cut our fathers off, we cut God off. And God says, honor your mother and father, that it all may be well with you, and your days will be long upon the earth. I could have you stand up right now and ask the Lord, where is my life not going well? And you could trace it back to that commandment of not honoring your mother and father. Now, it doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to fellowship with them if they're satanic people. But it means you honor the position, and honor means you forgive them by sundown. And every place you don't forgive your parents by sundown when you're growing up, that sets in motion forces that causes you to continue reaping the same thing you judged. And so so when you're reaping something, the law of sowing and reaping, that's the immutable, irreversible law of God, that the law of gravity says whatever goes up comes down. There's a law of physics. There's a law of aerodynamics. There's all kinds of laws that God has governing the universe. And one of them is honor your father and mother so that your life will go well. And when you judge your mother and father and you don't repent by sundown, that sets in motion forces that cause you to keep on reaping that same old thing. That's why this morning I said, when you have a hard time forgiving, those of you who were not in the prayer group, if you can quickly forgive somebody, it's not a hard issue. But if you say the words, because most of you want to forgive, you say, I forgive them, and a month later, a week later, 2 months later, you're going, rah, 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 I can't believe, blah, 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 blah. You still haven't forgiven. It goes back to a heart issue. And the Lord showed me that one day when I had lunch with a girl and we got the disagreement. And she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. And the next day I was still thinking, I can't believe she's so negative. I was just going on. I said, Lord, she said she was sorry. And I said, I was sorry. Why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she's just like your mother. Forgive your mother. I said, well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. The Lord said, forgive your mother for everything you can't stand about her. Lord, I forgive my mother for negativity. I forgive her for being critical. I forgive her. And the issue was over. And so the Lord showed me that if you can quickly forgive, it's not a hard issue. But if it keeps coming back, you need to go back to mother and dad or even grandparents and forgive them for the very same things that the people in the present have done to you. Does that make sense? And it works. Praise God that He teaches us. And through soul ties, you have to break soul ties. And a soul tie, and Carlo was telling us about a soul tie last night, too. It's a connection in the spirit. And I liked your hurry up illustration about biting the bait. You get attached. The fish gets attached. But it's like a soul tie. You can be joined like a string, like a thread, like a rope, like a cable, like a chain, depending on who you sinned with or who you sinned against. And through soul ties, you get the sicknesses of whoever you have a soul tie with. You get their familiar spirit. You get their mental problems. You get their emotional problems. You get their depression. You get their addictions until you break that soul tie. And when we break them, and you can break it however the Lord leads you, but the way I break it is I call back my soul and spirit from that person because they get a part of me and I get a part of them. But I'm not talking about calling back the Holy Spirit, but each of you were born with a human spirit in your body, and so we call back our human spirit. There's a scripture that says, and somebody's going to have to quote this for me, that your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's telling you your whole spirit and body needs to preserve blameless. So that's why I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about that part that needs to be preserved blameless because the Holy Spirit's perfect, right? And so I probably quoted that wrong, but y'all know the scripture I'm talking about. Does anybody know how to quote that scripture? Well, anyway, look it up. preserve blameless. And I encourage you to get, if you don't have internet on your computer, get eSword.com. That's a free computer program. And you can pull up the words there. It comes with a free, it's free. It comes with, I think it's a King James version, and you can add translations. Make sure that whatever you read goes back to be confirmed to the King James, because so many of the translations, even the one I use, the New American Standard, there's corruptions. And so, and especially the newer translations are dangerous. I had a young man, I sent out a daily thought to encourage and said, you know, the scripture, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit, not the flesh. And he said, I think you have a wrong translation, because his translation said there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's wrong. Don't walk in the Spirit and see if there's not condemnation. Amen? God lets the devil condemn you when you step out of line. In fact, if you pictured Psalms 91, where it says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. If you pictured Psalms 91, where it says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, You are my fortress, my refuge, my strength. You will deliver me from the snare of the trapper, the noisome pestilence, the arrow that flies by day. 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I'll only look on with my eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? Because I make the Lord my refuge. Even the Most High my habitation, no evil will befall me, nor any plague come near my dwelling. I'll tread on the lion, the cobra, even the young lion and the serpent I'll trample down. And so if you picture God's refuge like a big umbrella, as long as you're under that umbrella, you're safe. And, it talks about Jesus coming as a thief. He's not the thief, But if you step outside that umbrella, you're out in Satan's territory, and the fiery darts are flying out there, and that's where you're under the law. And those of you who've been addicted, you've been put under unlawful authority, and you're outside of the umbrella. And the law, when you're under the umbrella, there's no law. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You step outside of God's umbrella, and you're under the law. And Romans 7 says, I think it's Romans 7, says, the law arouses in me sinful passions. And the reason I know this is because when I was 13 years old, I was real overweight, fat. My mother took me to a diet pill doctor, and she did the best she knew how. She should have took me to the Lord, but she didn't know the Lord then herself. She took me to a diet pill doctor and put me under unlawful authority. And all those years, I had this lie that I could never be free. And the Lord showed me years later that I've been put under unlawful authority, which causes me to crave. So if you want addictions broken, forgive your parents for not being under God's umbrella, and you not growing up under God's authority, just being out there where the arrows fly. And so, anyway, let's get back to ears to hear. And so we need to listen to our parents, because when we don't, it carries over into our relationship with God and all authority figures. If you're always doing what you think's best or what seems best to you, you have no regard for authority, and you have no authority, no regard for what God's Word says. So our relationship with the Lord parallels our relationship with our parents, and hearing problems parallel us not listening to God. When I used to have a ministry farm, and now my son owns the farm. He's built a church on the farm, and he's my pastor. So I'm blessed to have a godly son and a godly grandson and godly children that are on the way. Praise the Lord. You know, when you've been praying for your kids, my oldest granddaughter is 30 years old, and I've been praying for her for 43 years, long before she was even born. And so David and I were talking, when you pray for your family when they're for 43 years and they're only 30, you can say it's a done deal. they are going to be mighty for God. Amen. I'm thankful for David. He's been my son and David have probably been the greatest joys of my life, to have two godly men in my life, the only two men in my life besides Jesus. But when I had a ministry farm, I used to have people that lived on the farm before my son took it over, before I got to the place where I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I was woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and there's this girl was said she was in pain. And this the girl that kind of was staying at the farm, kind of looking over things, I said, Ruth, you think she's serious? And Ruth said, put it this way, I tried to take her to the emergency room, and she wouldn't go. So, in other words, she was putting on. So I said, oh, Lord, I can't do this anymore. Anyway, but the Lord had used that farm to teach me how to help people, because I had people that had come out of Satanism, people that had been prostitutes, people that had been on crack. Oh, goodness, I had everything imaginable, little rich kids, little spoiled kids. And anyway, the Lord showed me that He sent those people there to teach me. As I look back on all these people I'm trying to help, they all told me they were Christians, and they all told me they'd accepted the Lord. And as I look back, I should have tried to get them saved instead of delivered. We underestimate the salvation process, because when you're saved, you're not perfect. In fact, the work has just begun, but you have a heart change. You become a new creation in Christ. But when I had this ministry farm, I would send somebody to the feed store to get a can of pesticide, and I'd say, get the yellow can. I can't think of the name of it. They'd come back with a red can or some other can. They didn't have ears to hear. And I remember when I first started coming to Lake Hamilton, Merrill's daddy, Glenn, which was a tremendous man of God, we all loved him so much. But he used to tell people, he'd say, now when you go into the dining hall, go to the end of the table. Don't stop at that end of the table. Go all the way to the end where people don't have to climb over you. And you'd go in the dining hall and everybody would be sitting on the end. Nobody would be coming to the end. They didn't have ears to hear. So we have to have ears to hear. You know, I have a kennel where I sell puppies, which is kind of like a tent-making job for me. And I'll tell these puppy customers, now when you get off of I-20 on stop right there on 849 and don't go any further. Call me from there because you'll get lost. They go right by that. They'll call me when they're in Timbuktu. They'll call me and want to know where they're at. I don't know where they're at. They don't have ears to hear. I ask you a question. Do you have ears to hear? Are you one of those people? We've got to have our ears dug out in Jesus' name. In the physical, ears are an organ of hearing. Spiritual ears represent the ability to hear spiritually. They speak often of, the Bible speaks often of ears in a literal way, but more specifically, he speaks of ears in a figurative way, meaning speaking of hearing and understanding. And you know, understanding is the truth that sets you free. The scripture says in Proverbs, say to wisdom, you're my friend. No, he says, say to wisdom, you're my sister, and say to understanding, you're my intimate friend. Why is understanding why does God want you to say that understanding is your intimate friend? Because your understanding is the truth that sets you free, and you've got to know the truth if you're ever going to walk in freedom. You have to love the truth, embrace the truth, speak the truth. You know, don't tickle people's ears, because if you want to minister, many of you are in the ministry, if you want to minister, you're going to have to speak the truth to people, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth.
Yes.
It's just walking on eggshells with people. I mean, you're not helping people when you do that. Now, people might not like it. I had some curse words spoke to me yesterday. I think of another person who thinks there's people living in her attic. And I say, she tells me that bathroom stuff comes up in her bathtub, that they put marks on her. She sent me a picture where they are cutting her ear. They're cutting the earlobe of her ear, and she said, I'm on the way to get my ear sewed up. And I said, she rejects truth. She cuts truth off. I'm telling her constantly, all these things are happening to you, but it's not people in your attic. Your attic is only 3 foot high. And how can a 6 foot person live in an attic when there's three of them? Anyway, she hasn't listened. And so she basically responded with some curse words. I can't do this anymore. I said, well, give up your flesh. Quit trying to work this out yourself. But see, I told her, I said, you know, and I'm not putting a curse on you, but if you don't listen to God, you may end up with no ears at all. I'm telling you, God is a merciful God. He's a compassionate God, but he loves you so much that he wants to put you on the straight and narrow. And God uses everything you go through to conform you to his image. He even lets the devil beat up on you because he's trying to get your attention. To give ear means to pay close attention to. In Hosea 4, it says, harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. Now, harlotry is when you pray a prayer to receive Jesus as Savior, and then your heart goes after other lovers, other idols, things you love more than God, you commit spiritual adultery, you're a spiritual harlot. And it says, harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. And that wine also is the wine that makes the harlot drunk. You see drunkenness so many places in so many churches, and it's not the Holy Spirit, it's the unholy spirit. In fact, if you do a word study on wine, new wine, drunken, sober, alert, you'll see that it's a judgment that God sends on the harlot because of idolatry. It says, harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. King James says, takes away the heart. Understanding is the truth that sets you free. And when we lack understanding, it's because of idolatry. As Carla said, we've all committed idolatry in our lifetime. All of us. In the last part of Hosea 4, it says, the people without understanding are ruined. If I'm without understanding, I'm without the truth that sets me free, and I stay in bondage. The first part of Hosea 4, it says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge. And I see this person that I've been trying to help that thinks there's people in her attic, and they steal her food, and all kinds of stuff happens. She thinks they're breaking the bones in her feet, and her feet are swelling, and all kinds of things. And I'm telling her it's demons behind it. And so harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. And my prayer for her is that the truth will set her free, that she will know the truth, and the truth will set her free. That's my prayer for myself, for my children, my grandchildren, because of rebellion and idolatry and harlotry and fruitlessness. It says that God gives us eyes that see not, nor ears that hear not, nor a heart that can turn and understand. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 4, it says, yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. Ezekiel 12, verse 2 says, Son of man, you live in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes that see not and ears that hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Romans 11, verse 8 says, just as it is written, God gave them over to a spirit of stupor, eyes that see not, ears that hear not, down to this very day. Now, these are scriptures that I've repented over for my eyes, that God gives you over to these things. And if you're like me, not because I certainly haven't been perfect, and I've certainly sinned in my life, and so many times we do the same things as our forefathers done, but eye problems have come down the generations, and so I've had to forgive my forefathers for doing the very same thing that would cause me to have eyes that see not and ears that hear not and a heart that cannot understand. Isaiah verse, and I've repented over all of these. Isaiah 6, 9 says, and go tell this people, keep on listening but do not perceive. Keep on looking but do not understand. Isaiah 6, 10 says, render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return, and I should heal them. And you read that same thing in Matthew 13. Proverbs 18, 15 says, the mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ears of the wise seeks knowledge. Proverbs says that knowledge increases power. If you want power in your Christian life, you need to know more of the Word of God. When we refuse to listen, God doesn't listen to us. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11, it says, but they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. They made their hearts like flint so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets, and great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 7:13. And just as he called and they would not listen, so they called and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. He said they turned a stubborn shoulder to the Lord, which is that's one of the major roots to shoulder problems. You know, if I'm not listening to God, I'm really turning a stubborn shoulder to Him. And so to turn towards suggests the desire to understand. Proverbs 2:2 says, make your heart attentive to wisdom, incline your ear to understand, your heart to understanding, which is the truth that sets you free. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Now, if God told any of us that there was silver and gold planted buried in our backyard, we'd be all out there with a shovel digging it, right? So God says we're to seek wisdom, understanding, and knowledge more than we would seek hidden silver and hidden gold. Because God's Word says you will find me when you search for me with your whole heart. The church today is so half-hearted and so worldly, you can't tell a church member from a lost person. And it's sad. And just because you're going to church, that don't mean you're a Christian. If you're here today and you've never been born again, In fact, I heard that Billy Graham, the other day I read a thing that Billy Graham said only 5% of the hundreds of thousands that come forward in his crusade are truly born again.
Amen.
I mean, the Bible says the devil believes and trembles. So just believing in Jesus, I'm sorry, is not enough. But the word believe, if you look it up in the Greek, it means to trust yourself wholeheartedly to Jesus. The church is full of lost people. I think it's Leonard Ravenhill that says 98% of church members are lost. Howard Pittman says 10% of church members are saved. And that's a sobering thought. So if you've never had a born-again experience, and if you've been ho-hum God, and you haven't been interested in the Word of God, and you prayed a prayer years ago, and maybe you got baptized, but it's ho-hum God, let me tell you something. You need to get born again. And the way to be born again is not just receive. You're to receive Jesus, of course, believe that He died for your sin, receive Jesus. But Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's the key to salvation.
Amen.
It's a free gift, but you don't obey to be saved. You'll obey because you are saved. Because God's given you a new heart. It doesn't mean you're perfect. You're just a work in progress. I mean, when I first got saved 54 years ago, I thought I did God a favor. You know, I was a little bit self-righteous, just a little bit. And I'm telling you, God's whipped that out of me. He has. I mean, in fact, I'm going to teach a message on pride, the fruit of pride. And I taught this message probably back in the early 2000, maybe 10 years ago. 12 years ago. And when David was laughing at me when we were on the way, I said, you know, when I first dug this message out to teach it again, I said, every characteristic of pride I had, in fact, it was so embarrassing because everything fit me perfect. And I was really encouraged because when I dug it out, I thought, you know, you've gotten some deliverance because I'm not as bad as I used to be. I'm still not fixed. I'm still working on pride. And I believe pride is the root of our problems. The scripture says pride is your necklace. The garment of violence covers you, which is the attire of the harlot. Your imaginations of your heart run riot, and your eyes bulge out with fatness. Now, does that sound like glaucoma?
Yeah.
You know, pressure in your eyes? Guess what? I'm going to get healed and delivered of glaucoma. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Proverbs 2:5 says, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Proverbs 15:32 says, he neglects discipline, despises himself, but he who listens to life-giving reproof acquires understanding. The truth is sets him free. The eyes of the Lord symbolize that God hears our prayers versus idols that can't hear. Psalms 115 and Psalms 135 says, idols have ears, but they don't hear. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They have feet, but they can't walk, etc., etc. But God hears our prayers. 1 Peter 3 says, the ears of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against all those who do evil. Proverbs 28:9 says, he who turns away his ear from listening to God's law, even his prayer, is an abomination to God. People who refuse to listen are described as stubborn, stiff-necked, arrogant scoffers, rebellious, perverse, and idolatrous. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, in latter times men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. And I see that's where basically the church in America is. There's very, very, very few places that are teaching repentance. Very few. And now there may be some exceptions, but usually churches that teach repentance don't get very big. Because if you want your ears tickled, you know, why do you want to sit under a church that's teaching repentance that tells you you have to die in your flesh when you could go and let some false prophet just tickle your ears and make you think you're okay? Nehemiah 9, verse 16 says, but they, our fathers, acted arrogantly. They became stubborn and would not listen to thy commandments. And they refused to listen and did not remember thy words, their wondrous deeds, which thou hast performed among them.
and they became stubborn and appointed a leader and returned to their slavery in Egypt, which is the type of the world. However, they did not listen but stiffened their necks like their fathers, who would not believe in the Lord their God. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight, but he only left except for the tribe of Judah. Now, you may say, well, that's for Israel. That's not for me. But if you read Romans 9 and Galatians 3 and other places, it says that people that have been born again are the true Israel of God. 2 Kings 17 verse 20 says, and the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel. So that's why some of us have been rejected, because our mother and fathers were rejected because they wouldn't listen. So we've been rejected. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel and afflicted them and gave them into the hand of plunderers. Now, that plunderers is an enemy for sure. Did Paul say your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers? So he turned them over to plunderers, to demons. And, you know, you could call ISIS a plunderer. And the only thing that's going to protect us in these days we're living in is to walk uprightly and to walk a holy life before the Lord. Now, you know, being holy doesn't mean you're trying to turn the potter's wheel. If you pictured God the potter and we're the clay full of junk, the clay only rests on the potter's wheel and the potter does all the junk taken out. Is that right? But we have to stay controlled. Many of you are trying to turn the potter's wheel. And so when we're trying to turn the potter's wheel, we're in rebellion and we're in legalism and we're performance oriented. And so many of you that are addicted, if you pictured addiction like a big circle, it's like you try, and the little voice says, this isn't working. You take a nosedive, go in a black hole, and there you sit, and then you sit in your addiction, and you do whatever your addiction is, and then this little voice kicks in and says, why don't you try again? Try. The only thing that's going to deliver you is to get on the potter's wheel, which is a picture of coming under the control of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, in the Old Testament, God wouldn't take a sacrifice that was lame or blind or crippled. And so I've got a problem. I'm blind, lame, and crippled, and so are you. But if we get on God's altar and yield to Him, the blood that He pours out is the perfect blood of Jesus, and it covers us. We're still clay full of junk. But see, there's no law. When I'm on the potter's wheel, sin is not arousing in me sinful passions. And when I'm yielding to the potter, then that's how I'm holy as he's holy and perfect as he's perfect. Because that's the only time I'm not sinning is when I'm yielded to the potter. Is that right? And so you're going to fall off the potter's wheel, confess your sin, get back on, and just say, God, I can't do it. Many of you who are addicted, maybe were like me. I mean, I was taught that the Lord helped those that helped themselves. How many were taught that? And I felt guilty. And then one day I learned the only ones God could help was those that admitted they're helpless. Amen? Thank God. That was encouraging news for me. Because my mother always had such willpower. She'd say, Jerry doesn't have any willpower. I break that curse off me in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for my mother. Yes. 2 Kings 17 verse 20 says, and the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel. So Lord, we just ask you we forgive our forefathers for not listening to you that would cause us to get rejected by you. And afflicted them and gave them into the hand of plunderers until he had cast them out of his sight. And Isaiah 66:4 says, so I'll choose their punishments and I'll bring on them what they dread. Because I called and no one answered, I spoke and they did not listen, and they did evil in my sight and chose that in which I did not delight. Isaiah 42, verse 20, you've seen many things, but you do not observe them. Your eyes are open, but none hears. Your ears are open, but none hears. Isaiah 42, verse 23, who among you will give ear to this? Who will give ear and listen hereafter? Who gave Jacob up for spoil and Israel to plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned, and in whose ways they were not willing to walk, and in whose laws they did not obey? So he poured out on them the heat of his anger and the fierceness of battle, and it set them aflame all around. Yet he did not realize it, and it burned him, but he paid no attention. You know, that scripture, that's a spiritual fire. I was at a seminar one day, and a guy said, "Would you pray for me? I feel like my back's on fire." And the Lord gave me that scripture in Jude that says, "Snatch men out of the fire." So I took his hands. I said, "I snatch him out of the fire." And he said, "Well, it's gone." And then that's when the Lord taught me that it was a spiritual fire. And the spiritual fire is burning a lot of people, but they don't recognize it and they're not paying attention. Malachi 2:2 says, "If you do not listen and do not take to heart to honor my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send curses upon you and will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already because you have not taken it to heart." You know, Deuteronomy 28 says curses are, sickness is a curse. And so here God says, "I'm going to curse your blessings." And he is, okay, how he does that is like, you're not under God's refuge, and so your blessings get cursed because you're out there. Get back under here and you'll be safe. That's how he comes as a thief. The thief, in other words, the devil gets you when you're outside of God's will, when you're not walking in his word. James 4:7 says, "Give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee." God refers to people who will not listen to him as false sons. And right now I'm beginning to believe that the person I'm trying to help tell them that there's no people in their attic, they're a false son. This is what God says. Isaiah 30:1, "Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan and not mine, make an allowance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin." In other words, they work it out in the flesh. God says, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. Isaiah 30:2, "Who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, who take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt." You know, Psalms 91 tells you about the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow of Egypt is, it's anything outside of the shadow of the Almighty. And so you're seeking refuge under the wrong shadow. Isaiah 30:9 says, "For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'You must not see visions,' and you tell the prophets, 'You must not prophesy to us what's right. Speak to us pleasant words, prophesy illusions.'" And you know what? That's what the false prophets do. They prophesy illusions. They speak to you pleasant words. They tell you how Wall Street's going to bless you. God could care less about Wall Street. Some of those false prophets are so ridiculous. I had one talk about how God was going to fan you or something and bless you. You were going to fan your, I don't know really what it was. It was just heresy. Another time he said, you know, the highway of holiness, fools can get on the highway of holiness. I said, "Brother, you're teaching people wrong." He said, "You just don't understand. Maybe if they got on there, they'd change." "I'm taking you off my email list," he said. I tell you, some of these false prophets, if you know the Word of God, they are so ridiculous. Yeah. It's just, in fact, I was searching some of them out on the internet one day, and there was a preacher that was crowing. He's going, "Arr!" I don't want to be a crowing preacher, but I thought, is that ridiculous? Come on. Anyway, Dave Wilkerson had a lot of things to say about those. He was a real prophet. So if you're not listening to the Lord, you're listening to the song of fools. Ecclesiastes 7:5 says, "It's better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man rather than listen to the song of fools." So you're either listening to the Lord, the voice of the Lord, or the voice of the harlot. The voice of the Lord is the voice of wisdom that says, "Turn in here." The harlot says, "Turn in here. Get off God's path." Proverbs 5:7 says, "Now, my sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest strangers be filled with your strength and your hard-earned goods go to the house of an alien, and you groan in your latter end when your flesh and your body are consumed." and you say, how I've hated instruction and my heart's firm reproof, and have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. For I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly of the congregation. In other words, I was almost ruined right in the church house. And you see that because nowadays pastors encourage you to go to a psychiatrist, or they encourage you to take your medication, and they get mad if you don't. Can I tell you that medication will kill you? And so I'm not telling you not to take it, but I'm telling you to get with your doctor and start. If the more deliverance you get, the less you'll need it.
Amen.
Amen? That's between the doctors, between you and the Lord. This is Proverbs 7:4. Say to wisdom, I am your sister, and call understanding your intimate friend. That they may keep you from the adulteress. That's that voice that wants to turn you down the wrong path. Not just a physical prostitute, but it's that voice of the enemy that tries to, the voice of the unholy spirit that tries to lead you astray. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. So that they'll keep you from the adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger, which is that voice of the foreigner or voice of another. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and turn aside from truth to myths. And so if you have ears that tickle and itch, have you had itching ears? Maybe you haven't. Maybe your grandfather, your grandmother, it's coming down the bloodline. The sins of the fathers pass on to the children to the third and fourth generation, and that's 30 to 40 forefathers. Illegitimacy, or curse of the bastard, goes 10 generations. Curse of incest goes 10 generations, and that's approximately 2,040 forefathers. If it's not broken and put under the blood of Jesus, it'll just, that curse continues on our children. I encouraged my son and my daughter-in-law, when they first got married, they let me take them through deliverance before they got married. And I think that that's really helped a whole lot, because I'm thankful for my grandchildren. Promises if we listen. These are wonderful promises. Success. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law, the Bible, will not depart from my mouth, but day and night I will meditate on it, be careful to do all according to all that's written in it. Then he will make my way successful, and everything I do will prosper. So you want to prosper? Listen to the Lord. The next promise is healing. Exodus 15, verse 26 says, and he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, means to stretch out your ear. It means not just listen, but it stretch your ear to hear him. And do what's right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put upon the Egyptians. You know, you see who's putting them on you? The Lord is, because of sin. And then you're out from under God's refuge, and the enemy gets you out there.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.